Living Powerfully Now. Lecture 12. I live revealing every moment as I divinely see it. I live revealing every moment as I divinely see it. I have the opportunity to look from my inner at all times. I have the opportunity of going to the center of my own being, and in that place of peace, in that place of meditation, in that place of wonderment, I live, revealing every moment as I divinely see it. When I live from my divine center, when I live from the divinity that is within me, I live on top of all the possibilities that I could ever have. And these possibilities are endless. These possibilities have no beginning and no end. But these possibilities are fantastic as I see every moment divinely from within myself. I live revealing every moment as I divinely see it. I live revealing every moment as I divinely see it. How do I divinely see every moment? How do I divinely see every moment of my life? How do I divinely know every moment of my life? How do I divinely experience every moment of my life? I divinely experience every moment of my life when I look first to my meditation center within me, to the depth of my being, because when I do that, then there are no limits. I have values. I have very noble, very fantastic values, as far as I understand. And these values reveal to me where I stand on all levels of being. I see wholeness. I see everything whole and perfect. All is in divine order now. All is whole and perfect right now. All is wonderful right now. When I recognize that all is wonderful and perfect right now, then I live in that awareness and that consciousness. Should I for any moment allow my thought to drift, allow myself to think that perhaps it might not be so, perhaps there are problems, perhaps there is limitations in the world, then that's exactly what I instantly experience. Now, it happens very quickly. Now, if I say all is in divine order, and I maintain my thought there, then that too instantly reveals itself in my life. That too instantly reveals. However pure is my thought, however pure is my attitude, that is the experience that I have. Now, can I have a pure thought of saying, I see only wholeness everywhere? Can I have a pure thought saying, I am wholeness? Can I have a pure thought saying, wholeness is all that exists? And the answer is yes. But have I trained myself to do this? Have I trained myself to have a will-o'-the-wisp attitude about life? Have I trained myself 1 minute to think positive and the next minute to think of something contrary? It doesn't have to be that way. It does not have to be that way at all. Because I am the master of my consciousness. I am the master of my thought. I am the master of every attitude that goes in, through, and around my awareness, my consciousness, my mind. Now, what is it that I want for myself? What is it that I expect out of myself? What is it that I dream for myself and visualize for myself and image for myself? Just one illustration. I see wholeness. Now, do I see wholeness wherever I am? What is wholeness? Wholeness is my original purity and integrity. Wholeness is my original purity and integrity. Wholeness is where whatever I am designed to be, I am. Whatever I have been created to be, I am. Whatever view of myself I have, I am. Now, I am, whether I want to admit it or not, or whether I want to claim it or not, or whether I want to allow myself to climb out of the attitude that says I'm not. No, Indeed, it's just like climbing out of an attitude that says I'm not. A while back, I went for a balloon trip on my birthday, and everybody gave me this lovely balloon trip. Went up into the sky, and there were about 15 of us on that balloon. And we rose from the level of the ocean up into the sky and down into the valleys inland. And as we rose, the pilot gave us a little more energy, and we went higher. And then he reduced the energy, and we went lower. And he decided he wanted to land in a specific place. Now, he didn't have any motors to direct the craft to go where he wanted to go, but he put it right where he wanted it. He put it right inside of a fence, right inside of an area, right where he wanted it to be. Now, how could he do that? He couldn't tell the wind, I want you to push me over there. He couldn't tell the balloon that it must turn this way or turn that way. And yet, the balloon did what he wanted it to do. Now, you might say, well, he had some activity going on there that you didn't know anything about. That's true, he did. He had some activity going on there that I didn't know anything about. He was a balloonist. He was a balloon pilot. He had his profession as his working ship. He trained to be it. He trained to be a sculptor. He trained to be a painter. He trained to be a deep sea diver. He trained to be a pilot. Well, he trained to be a balloonist. And as he trained to be a balloonist, he trained to put the balloon where he wanted it to go, regardless of the winds that blew, regardless of all the activities that went on. He knew what he was going to do. Now, the prevailing wind went in certain directions, and he guided his balloon according to the prevailing wind. But he had fine-tuning work to do, and his fine-tuning work to do was seeing it in wholeness, and seeing it as being fulfilled, as stopping exactly where he wanted it to stop. He was the master of that balloon, and we all rode with him in total confidence, because he was a balloonist. He knew his job. He was the bus driver. He was the pilot of the jet that was flying us from one part of the world to another part, and going right where he wanted it to go. And how beautiful that is, and how wonderful that is. But that's seeing wholeness. If for any instance he would allow himself to doubt it, oh, there comes a wind off over there, there comes this, there comes that. You see, whenever he would allow that sort of a condition to come into his consciousness, then he would no longer be the pilot. He would no longer be in charge of where we were going. But he was in charge. He was in charge of that invisible force. That invisible force was his mental energy, his attitude, his expectation, his being and training himself totally to do it. We watched a little Star Trek, and I'll be referring to Star Trek for a while now, but we watched a little Star Trek, and it was the original work. And Starship Enterprise went down to this planet, and this planet was a planet of peace. This planet had not known war for how many years. It had not known any violence at all. The people lived and moved and did the things they wanted to do. They were harmonious people. They were a good people. And then it came time for the Starship Enterprise crew to stand against the Klingons. And the two were starting to be very angry with one another, because that's what wars are made of. And so they didn't see wholeness between each other. They just saw war as their modus operandi. Well, the leaders of this community, the leaders of this planet, the leaders, and they were not really just the leaders, they were part of the group who were guiding it, but they were the leaders, I guess you'd call them. They said, we cannot allow you to have conflict in our area. We cannot allow you to be on our planet with bad thoughts for one another. And there's no need for any type of electronics. There's no need for any type of guns or weapons. We are a place of peace. And so the ultimate game came, and it was ready for the battle, ready for the angry Klingons and the angry starship people to play their game. Well, the leaders just sat at their table, and they said to themselves, peace. They radiated an energy, pure energy, which is what we are all made of. And they radiated this pure energy out so that there were no weapons, so that no one could be in conflict on their planet or in their galaxy, you might say. And truly it was that way. Now, this is a starship. This is Star Trek, early edition. This is the type of philosophy that was abounding. And as these people were thinking these thoughts, as these people were having these ideas in their mind that it could happen, what is the starship, what is the Star Trek program all about? As you will watch it, oh, it'll have its moments of violence, its moments of excitement, its moments of passions and energies and humanity running loose. But always it'll be coming back to being yourself and having fun. Always coming back to being yourself and having fun and seeing yourself in wholeness, seeing yourself in harmony, seeing yourself in peace, seeing yourself in right action. And this can be. But what is it that you want? What is it that you would like in your life? What is it that you would like to experience? What are the values that you have in your life that are so very wonderfully important to you? What are the values that you have in your life that tell you that this is something well worth promoting, well worth going for, well worth expressing? What are those values? We have to train ourselves in these values because they're all there. But do we want them? Do we want to express them? Do we want to live those values? Do we want those values to be in our world and in our life? Do we want those values to be who we are? Do we want those values all of the time? And if we do, then that is our life. Now, the people on this planet, in this Star Trek program, they had to show that they were living a peaceful life. And they had to show that they were doing everything in harmony. Now, truly, if they have lived for as many years as they said they lived, they should not have had a starship program coming in. They should not have had a Klingon conflict going on. It should not have even entered into it. And truly, it would not have. But for the sake of a story, for the sake of telling a story, and this is what we have to do, is the sake of the telling a story, we lose our wholeness. Someone says to you, can I help you? And so you give them your tale of woe, you give them your problems, you give them all the things that have caused you distress, and then you say, yes, I'd like to be without that distress. Well, let's talk about the solution. Let's talk about the solution of wholeness. How do you get the solution of wholeness if you're going to continually talk about the lack of wholeness? How are you going to get the expression of wholeness in every area of your life when you talk of the lack of wholeness? Well, it's up to us to train ourselves, and this is what we can do. Train ourselves every single moment that whatever we see perfect. Whatever we see good. Whatever we see fantastic. Now, a gardener goes out and works in their garden. Ellen loves to go out and work in the garden in the embassy. And she has about 4 or 5 acres there surrounding her house. And she thinks how wonderful that is. And so she goes out and she waters the grass. She trims the trees. Sometimes the roots of the trees want to travel just under the level of the ground, and she has them trimmed off. And she takes care of all her roses, and she takes care of all of her gardenias. She takes care of all of her flowers of every nature. And then she goes into her house. And in her house, she keeps it spotless. But she has 2 very busy cats. And these cats love to crawl underneath the blankets. They love to crawl underneath the coverlet on the bed. They love to sit on the top of the fireplace. They love to be everywhere, doing everything. They are the masters of that house. And Ellen loves it that way. And she creates them appreciating the house that they live in together. There is not a place in that house where they cannot be, whether it's her computer or her bed or her tabletop. It doesn't matter, because she sees them all in wholeness. She sees them all in perfection. She sees them all doing all those things that are beautiful and good and uplifting and fantastic. Now, I live revealing every moment as I divinely see it. Now, that's the only way we can live, is to live every moment as we divinely see it. I see oneness. Yes, I see all the universe as one. I see all the universe expressing a uniqueness, but yet a oneness. The uniqueness of attitude, the uniqueness of whatever area of the thinking we may have, but there's a oneness. There's a unity. There is a feeling of camaraderie. There's a feeling of vitality. And what is that oneness that is inseparable, that is unchangeable, that oneness that is always there, guiding, and that's energy. Yes, that oneness is energy. As this group of leaders of this one community did not care to have anxious energy in their life. They didn't care to have violence. They didn't care to have war. And so they took their energy and they surrounded everything with their energy of peace, with their energy of harmony, with their energy of right action. And you and I can do that. That's not something just for a script in a Star Trek talk, a Star Trek movie. No, it's what you can do and what we do every day. We do it every day. We say, oh, it's going to be a lovely day, and we're creating that day. We're saying, oh, it's going to be a not lovely day, and we're creating that day. We are in charge of that energy of that oneness of the universe, because that oneness and that energy is who we are. That oneness and that energy is all that we are. We are in charge of the beauty. We look out and we see all harmony, peaceful, beautiful. We see all in divine right order now, and we are happy about it. We're fulfilled about it. We're delighted about it. But it's our choice. I see eternity now. Oh, yes. I live in that eternity now. I live in that oneness, that allness, that totality of all that's good and beautiful, because that's my nature. That's my nature. I live revealing every moment as I divinely see it. I make the choice of how I see my world. I make the choice of how I see my universe. I make the choice of how I see all that I am. And I am all that I am right now, because I see eternity now. Because I know beauty now. Because I see oneness now. Because I see wholeness now. I live revealing every moment as I divinely see it, living powerfully now. I can do that. That's my nature. That's my reality. That's all that I am. And I see it is my reality now. It is who I am now and who I will always be. And how glorious that is. That's the greatness of being you and being me. And yet, our energy is one. We may have our uniqueness, we may have our attitudes and our ways of thinking, but always we come out of the one energy, the one pure, beautiful, original purity energy. And that's all we know. That's all I know. And perhaps that's all you know too. I believe it is. It's all that we know, the ideal energy that we are.